Political analyst Mordecai Lee joins us now, also by phone, to talk about the implications of these released documents. Mordecai, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Mitch.
So with the release of these documents, Democrats are using terms like smoking gun. Republicans are using terms like partisan witch hunt. Is it possible for both of those things to be true?
You know, I suppose both of them can be true, simply because we're at such an odd point in the criminal justice system. After all, what we're used to is when, let's say, a DA brings charges, or let's say when a court issues a verdict. And then you're going to have multiple interpretations, but you've had some authoritative developments. What we're looking at is a kind of a half-baked prosecutor's case that was stopped in its tracks by legal maneuvering. And so we're seeing what the prosecutors think were the elements that might lead to a charge, but they haven't fully developed the case, and we certainly haven't heard from the other side in terms of a rebuttal on substance. This is such a peculiar and bizarre situation.
Well, and you mentioned the criminal justice system, but right now the release of these documents effectively turns things over to the court of public opinion in some way. How does that change the game?
Generally speaking, in politics, when there's an authoritative development, a verdict or a charge, then the spillover to the political world is understandable. Now I think it's much fuzzier, and that's why when you started the conversation, you were able to talk about these two sides depicting something wholly differently. We're seeing the tentative outlines of a prosecutor's case. It doesn't mean that anybody is guilty. It certainly doesn't mean that Governor Walker is guilty. There's an insinuation of a violation of a law, but that law itself, the law that bans coordination, is a state law which the opponents appear to believe is a violation of freedom of speech, is a ban on free political activities based on the latest decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court. So I think that might be one reason for their really unusually aggressive tactics, and that's that they want to get it to the Supreme Court as fast as possible.
They want to get it to the Supreme Court as fast as possible, but it's unlikely that whatever it is will be resolved before the November election. How is this likely to play out as a campaign issue?
I think you're right. That's where the divergence happens between the legal case and the political case. So I guess what's so different in this case is that we're not in the typical situation where one politician accuses another politician of maldoing and the other politician responds with another attack. And it's a kind of a tit for tat. In this case, the accusation comes from a prosecutor. In fact, it comes from five DAs around Wisconsin, some elected as Democrats, some elected as Republicans, who jointly then appointed a special prosecutor. So there's a bit of a more sort of political, I should say legal heft to what the potential accusation is. But nonetheless, the governor was absolutely right yesterday when he said that there's been one state court judge who wanted to quash the subpoenas, and now there's a federal judge who wanted to freeze the case and force them to destroy the evidence. And so based on those developments, the governor can accurately say that this does not appear to be going anywhere.
At the same time, there would seem to be a lot for an opponent such as Mary Burke to use in, if nothing else, muddying the waters?
I think the situation needs to be taken much more seriously, not only because it's deriving from a prosecutor. In other words, it's not just some out-of-thin-air accusation coming from one candidate against another candidate, but because I think that the Milwaukee County DA has established a certain amount of credibility. After all, this is John Doe 2. There was John Doe 1 about political activities by the staff of the county exec's office when Walker was running for governor and was the county exec. And we have to remember that the DA in Milwaukee County did not make Scott Walker a target, did not charge him with anything. There were no legal consequences to him as a result of the John Doe. And so the fact that the same prosecutor who has, in a sense, proven that he's not out to get Walker is now engaging in a second John Doe that appears to have some evidence about Walker's participation in this sort of coordination, I think that gives a little bit more credibility to this. And so it's more than just two politicians screaming at each other.
And so if you're the Walker campaign at this point, is there something more that you ought to be doing than what they're doing now? Or is the status quo for them simply staying above the fray and letting this play out on its own?
I think we now understand the rumor that had happened about 2 weeks ago that the Walker campaign was in plea bargain negotiations with the prosecutor. And that was a story that sort of came and went in one news cycle. It was easy to miss. But now that we see this email, and now that we see a more half-baked or half-developed case against Walker, Walker's campaign, and the other independent spenders, that suggests to us that if he had a more personal involvement, unlike the John Doe one, then in that case, it is more serious and it might have more political implications.
A John Doe, by its nature, is supposed to be a secret investigation. Does the release of these documents while this investigation is halted, does it have a chilling effect on future John Doe efforts?
Gosh, Mitch, I really think you're onto something. This has been so bizarre because usually John Doe's begin in secret, occur in secret, and then end with either an adjournment or with charges. The extremely aggressive legal tactics by the potential targets of it, not Governor Walker, the legal tactics by the ones who might be accused of engaging in the coordination, has been so unusual that that's why we know about this. And that's why we're seeing these documents, which are, I have to just call them half-baked. In other words, it's not the completion of the John Doe. It's only the semi-development of the John Doe potentiality for an accusation.
Well, and so then what would happen to the John Doe should the case be allowed to continue?
Well, I guess if the case were to be allowed to continue, the prosecutors would continue to develop their case that there was a conspiracy to violate the ban on coordination, which may or may not have included Governor Walker, and which may lead to some charges. But I suspect that this would happen presumably after the November election rather than before. But that's purely a speculation on my part.
Well, we appreciate it anyway. Mordecai Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Mordecai Lee is a professor of governmental affairs at the UW-Milwaukee School of Continuing Education and a former state legislator. He is also a Lake Effect political analyst. We'll take a break now and switch from the hot air of politics to the somewhat cooler air of woodwind instruments. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.